Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome to another edition of Road Trippin'. I'm Allie Clifton. He's Channing Frye. He's Richard Jefferson. It has been a hot minute, but this entire episode, I feel, is going to take on a vibe of its own because you guys have had your fun, have had your moments on social media and Twitter lately.
What?
I feel like you have
What moment has Channing had?
Okay, you want to start with the moment that Channing has had. I'm scrolling through Twitter because I know a lot of our viewers, obviously this is what we do, right? Nowadays, a lot of our viewers, I'm sure, have come across this one. I was randomly scrolling a week ago, maybe, and I came across this headline, this quote headline from Jimmy Traina.
Yeah, Jimmy Traina.
And it says, dudes take 20 minute dumps. We're 7 foot. We take dinosaur dumps.
Oh, jeez. I saw that. China's talking about not wanting a hot seat in the locker room.
Listen.
Excuse me?
Hey, so here's what happens. There's only three stalls. So before the game, if you're not one of the first three, you get in a hot seat. So it's like, damn, you know my man just got done, but you got to go. Where else are you going?
You don't go to the coach's room.
The coaches take dumps too.
Wait a second. Why are we talking about 20-minute dumps, dinosaur dumps, 7-footers? Like, why?
He's basically saying it's because he's a dinosaur. Look at him. He's not a normal human being.
A beautiful dinosaur. I would be a pterodactyl and fly.
Are you okay, dude?
No, dude. I'm actually like in a great mood. And this is what's funny. Because they were making a big deal about George Hill, right? And George Hill probably waited for the porcelain to get cold. And so he probably did layup lines. He got a little nervous and he went back there. You know what I'm saying? He had to take a dookie. And everyone was thinking that he was doing like another protest. But I was like, dude, literally had bubble guts. Because of nerves.
I just wonder, like, how many people have already stopped listening to this podcast?
All four of them.
With that said, my point here is you're talking about 7-footers. George Hill's not 7 foot.
Fact.
So how is that applicable to George Hill?
Fact.
Well, you just had to take it to that point.
I was making a reference to our Cavs teams, which were 6'7" and above. And, dude, listen. Kevin, Braun, Shump, everybody. There's guys that take dumps before every game. So if you didn't run in there real quick, you had to be in there with everybody else, which is all bad. All bad.
Dirk used to do the same thing. I know a bunch of guys that would do the same routine. The time of their pregame meal or their pregame coffee or whatever it is, you know, when your digestive tract gets to working, it gets to working.
I get it. It's good for you. This is natural.
There's our viewers. You're all welcome for that. Richard asked, so I had to deliver.
No, you said Channing was in a thing, but then I heard. I randomly stumbled on that also.
Channing did have another moment as well before we get into yours, Richard. You were really upset with the end of the OKC Houston. game.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a legit meltdown moment.
I was so mad because, listen, like, I like Houston, right? I think Houston's fun to watch at times. But I feel like OKC, they're the underdog. Everyone likes that story. It's like you give yourself a chance to win. Why is Gallinari not taking the ball out? He's 6'10", right? You could do a dribble handoff. Why? Like, what?
You have a – wait. What year is Shea?
This is third year.
Yeah, and I Richard, we were talking, and I asked you that. I was like, is Shea the guy you want to have? I'm not questioning any coaching decision, but
I am.
It was one thing that came to my mind. Is Shea the guy that you wanted to have take the ball out of bounds?
Dude.
But the same thing happened. I remember it was – I think it was game three maybe. They had Noel Nerlens in the game when you were trying to switch everything. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And again, he came over late. There are some things that are obvious. I think Kyle Lowry, even though he was super short and he had, but he's a guy that's, you know, been in the league for 12 years. So like when he took, he backed all the way up. He knew it. I don't think that was it. The biggest mistake that I was watching, I was like, why don't they just throw the lob up to Steven Adams? Everyone is protecting all of this other outside stuff. He could have taken one step up and gone and caught a lob dunk, and that was it. They were guarding him. And again, they were guarding, like face guarding him or sideways. And he tried to, even then, if he would have caught the ball when he did running towards it, he would have had to shoot a turnaround jumper. The first thing you should have done is run him to, again, we say should have, like we're on the coaching staff. If you run him towards the hoop, the middle of the court is open, right? The middle of the court is open because you got to go with him and protect the hoop. But I don't know. It was a weird setup. And they had like 19 timeouts to get it done.
Did it twice. That's the problem.
Yeah. He was right? open twice.
They thought they were going to set a down screen. So he wanted to play the inside, right? So yeah. Or the outside so that the guy who was switching on that down screen would go behind Adams. But that guy went to the corner and Adams was chasing him. And you're like, look towards the rim, you big Kiwi, look towards the rim. I mean, I wouldn't yell at him like that. He a big dude, so I'm not yelling.
He a real big dude. He takes real dinosaur dumps.
At the same time, with that said, obviously I play basketball, so I do get it when it comes to just lobbing it up and having him lay it in. Is Steven Adams the guy that you want on the block to go to work?
No, but it's not block. It's not block. It's not the block. What it is that he was at the like the elbow free throw line, and PJ Tucker, who's 6 inches smaller than him, was kind of face guarding him at that spot. Yeah. Right? He was face guarding him. So that's one of those ones where if he jumps, but you gotta understand too, you have what 1.something seconds. The chances of that's a great option, a lob. He's a great lobber. And were they down by one?
No, they were down by two.
Down by two. So, like, the only risk you would worry about is a foul in that moment and then him having to knock down two free throws. But, again, there are – like, we can all sit here, but that was one that, like, to most basketball eyes, you're like, oh, shit, the lob's open, right?
Twice.
But, yeah. But, look, shout out to OKC. They had a hell of a season.
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so plenty of awesome games that are going on right now. Obviously, the finish by OG yesterday with Toronto with 0.5, which is crazy.
There was, yeah.
Can I say this?
About that.
Did you watch that, right?
Yeah.
Did you notice how many people were telling Taco Fall to hold his hands up? I saw three coaches and three players. I'm like, motherfucker, how many people does it take to tell a 7-foot dude, hold your fucking hands up? Like
he was holding his hands up.
Out of the huddle. You would have thought they were running.
Well, I think what they didn't want him to like go for a ball fake and put his arms out. They're like, yo, keep your hands up the whole time.
Richard, you see how simple that took? Imagine, look, I saw the head coach talk to him. I saw two assistant coaches talking to him. I saw Marcus Smart, Daniel.
Well, English is not his first language.
They're teaching the dude how to swim. I'm pretty sure he can listen. Hey, hands up.
Hey, remember that beat you in a swimming race, Channing?
No, I might as well be Aquaman. I'm a black Aquaman here.
Goodbye. I beat you in a swimming race in Orlando, actually. That was when Richard was afraid to come out of his hotel room. He stayed in his hotel room the entire day.
Yeah. I'm not a day drinker. I'm sorry.
Allie, I knew that I was leaving and I was getting traded.
That was the wrong year.
I wanted you to have the best memory of me possible. So you still have that memory of you beating me in a pool, which would never happen. I've raced dolphins when I was 9, Allie.
Oh,
how did that turn out?
How did that turn out?
What do you mean? Me and the dolphins, like Ty.
It's like you and Flipper. Yeah. Yo, did you guys hear Ty possibly getting the Philly job? You guys hear that?
I love that.
Surprised?
No, I'm not surprised.
Actually, I'm a bit surprised because I heard his name trending towards New Orleans.
The Philly job is a unique one. Which one would you want, the Philly or the New Orleans? Which one is a better job?
Me or if I'm Ty?
Oh, well, geez. Obviously, me, you asked Ty.
Oh, the Philly job.
Why?
Because they're more developed talent, so you just need to put pieces where they need to go. And then that team is already like, you have all-stars, you have the talent to like win real games in the playoffs, right? He could just say, hey, this is the schemes we're going to use. I feel like there's a lot of development in what ifs in New Orleans. So a young guy, like you bring in Ime Udoka there, he could develop that rapport. And then now there's not a rush to make the playoffs and rush to win chips. But I think Ty is in the business of winning chips and going for championships.
So yeah. You really believe that Brett Brown was the only problem in Philadelphia and that their roster is fine?
Nah, I didn't say all that.
Yeah, I didn't say all that. I will say this. I don't think that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can fit together in a system that they've been pampered on. But I would like to see them try it for at least a quarter of a season, right? Their value is not going to get any worse. They're all-stars. They're still 25 years old. So for me, give it a chance in a new system. It doesn't work, and you're not wrong by going either way. I would keep Ben Simmons because of the way that the NBA is going and the way that the East is going. Look at the Boston Celtics. Have 4 or 5 guys that are 6'5 to 6'9 that are interchangeable. Look at Toronto. They play a tall lineup. We're not really a traditional
center. But isn't it harder? Listen, if you try and do what everyone else is doing, it's much more difficult. Not to say that you want to go completely opposite, but it is a lot harder to find a Joel Embiid than it is to find a Ben Simmons. With all due respect, Ben Simmons is a stud, all-star, first-team, all-defense. I'm just saying that 7-footers that can give you 35 and 18 when they're balling, that doesn't come.
You saw
what even happened. when he's playing, even if he's playing like average to below average, it's 20 and 10.
But to me, he's not dynamic like that. Like they, now, mind you, it may be the system. I think Joel Embiid has the potential to be the best big in NBA. At the end of the day, you can't force feed him on the block and win games.
Who is the best big in the NBA
right now? Jokic, offensively. No. Offensively. No.
Richard Miller called that last night.
Richard. No, you can't go by last night. Those kids are exhausted. Right now.
He said last night that Jokic is the most skilled center in the NBA.
Oh, easy.
Who said that?
Reggie Miller.
He is skilled by far. By far, he's the most skilled. But it's like we keep coming up with these distinctions of players, right? Where it's like, oh, he's the most skilled or he has the best post work. But like, who's the best big in the NBA? Who's the best big? That I understand what Reggie's saying. But it's more of like –
I say Jokic. Because, listen, at the end of games, you can give Jokic the ball. He's going to make a great pass. He's clutch, right? He's skilled.
Great rebounder.
And there's no real holes in his game except for his athleticism, right? Defensively, he's okay.
He's not going to get more unathletic either.
You said what?
Where's Anthony Davis in this mix?
Anthony Davis is a 4-man, and he's so versatile. He's not a big man. We're talking like a traditional
but first of all, Jokic is not a traditional 5. He brings the ball up. He does all of these rant, shoots threes, leads their team, and it's – So if you could pick any of the bigs, right? Giannis, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, or Jokic.
When you say Giannis, you get weird now.
I'm joking because I was calling him a big.
He's a center.
Yeah, it's true. So, well,
According to Richard, he's a Pippin. So
let me first start this off saying I want, literally, when I look at the statement and, you know, Giannis and everybody, I do want to apologize to Scottie Pippen. To Scottie Pippen, I want to apologize to. That's who I want to apologize. Look.
I'm taking Anthony Davis. It's not even close.
We're moving on.
Over Jokic?
Channing,
yes.
We're moving on from that conversation. Channing, when you saw Richard post that Giannis is more of a Pippen, he needs his Jordan.
The gift. Please don't underestimate. Please don't disrespect. My gift was amazing.
I respected the shit out of
That was a hell of a gift. That gift really kind of just... I was proud of that one. That was a great gift.
Giannis does not have the skill set to beat other teams right now. Giannis does not have that skill set. If you watch him in the fourth quarter, if it is not a fast break, 1-2 dribble dunk, he's shooting air ball turnarounds. He's afraid to go. I wouldn't say he's afraid. He is very nervous and uncomfortable at the free throw line. They can only use him as a big man at the end of the games. And he's not involved defensively, where, like, especially the first game. Last game, he was a little bit more active on the weak side. But there are things about his game, skill-wise, that when it comes to the playoffs, you need somebody to create a shot for your team. And maybe
do you know who is the maddest at me right now?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
The Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are like, Richard, shut the fuck up. What are you doing? Leave this man alone. No, man. It's so this is, I hate, like, I didn't have an experience like Channing had because my experience wasn't as offbeat, but, you know, wasn't as offbeat. But my thing is this, everyone's like, oh, he needs a Jordan. But it's like, yo, whoa. What I am saying right now in clear as day, Giannis is an MVP. He's going to win the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year. No one is not saying Giannis is a stud. If your insult to Giannis is you're comparing him to a six-time champion, a Dream Team member, right, and a first ballot Hall of Famer and a 50 greatest of all time, if I am saying he is closer to that at 25, 26, that's my insult to Giannis? That's how I'm insulting him? Right, like, wait a second.
You've had now 48 hours to kind of process all of this. When you actually tweeted that,
when I tweeted that, I meant that. Look, you can't give the ball to him. You can't give the ball to him in the last 2.5 minutes and expect for him to knock down 80% of his free throws, which is needed. You can't give the ball to him and just say, go get me a bucket. Now, he is a great distributor. He is a ridiculous finisher. Like, we don't have people like, oh, everyone wants to tear you down. It's like, dude. No one's trying to tear him down. The real point of this is LeBron James was a 4-time MVP. Kyrie took the last shot. Remember in Detroit, we called the last shot for Kyrie. Ran that blind pick for Kyrie. So it's like, and on top of it, when we're up by 2 with the ball to seal the game, who goes and gets the ball? Who do we run a play to get the ball? It was like Kyle Korver. It was, you know, it was Kyrie Irving. We would go get the guys that are like Kyrie's in the fourth quarter was like 90%. So my real point about this is, and people, well, he's Shaq and Kobe. It's like, guys, I only had like 160 characters. Like, let's not break this down. Like, this was an article on ESPN.com. All right. And on top of it, I said, might. So it wasn't like no, hear me out. I said, Mike, and part of the reason why I was like there, I said it, because ultimately, in order to win a championship, if your best player can't have the ball in the last 90 seconds, if he can't knock down free throws or can't knock down jump shots, show me one team that has won a championship. And the first people that you would refer to would be, well, Shaq and Kobe. And it's like, he had Kobe. Kobe might have been the second best player in the world.
Robert Horry, Derek Fisher. Like, he had who made huge shots on that
huge
team.
Huge shots. Like, Robert Horry won, what, 7 championships? Right? Like, are we just discounting that?
He didn't play regular season.
Robert Horry?
Yes. He just played the playoffs.
He won 7 titles. So, yeah, 7 titles. So, look, I don't feel like I disrespected Giannis by calling him that. I do not. I felt like it was a little offensive to Pippen because I know that he might not like to be used as an adjective. and that is fair, Pip. My bad. I will apologize to my OG, one of my favorite players of all time, sit next to him when we're doing ESPN shows. But what I say, I still stand by. That's not a knock right now at his point in time in his career. With all the accolades, and he's going to be putting himself in like elite categories of like 3-4 people. How many people have won back-to-back MVPs? Like 4 or 5 people. How many people have won the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same year? 2 other people. So he's in the most elite category. And so if that's it, and he is that elite player, he's got to be able to handle some criticism as to where he is at this point in time in his career. We forget the criticism that that LeBron got, or the criticism that Kobe got, or the criticism that Kevin Durant got, right? There's been criticism for all of the top players over the course of his career. And right now, with 2 minutes to go in a game, I wouldn't take him as my best player with 2 minutes to go.
I just love how you set up the game with Giannis and the boys are going to answer the call tonight. And then you're very next to me.
Is that? Because I had.
However, because I responded to you and said, if he ends up on the Warriors, are you still going to talk shit?
Yes, 100%.
Saying that he needs to go get help.
No, because my thing is this, he doesn't need to leave Milwaukee. I don't think he needs to leave Milwaukee. That's one very, very key spot. I don't think he needs to leave Milwaukee in order to do it, because you make it seem like he's got to leave some place to go join up with somebody. I don't necessarily believe he has to do that. If the season doesn't go the way he wants, every one of them dudes on his squad can be traded except for Giannis. And if you got to go rebuild, if there's another team that possibly had an early round exit that might, like, let's say hypothetically the Houston Rockets would have lost in the first round, or let's say there are teams that are constantly looking to move superstars. Now, that's the thing. Imagine if you traded a bunch of guys and you paired them with Joel Embiid, or like, I'm just making up hypothetical stuff. But I will say this. I had people that I don't know, and I'm going to say this, somewhere between a top 7 and 15 player that I don't know personally, that I've actually never like sat down and had a conversation with, like shoot me a message like, yo, if he loses this round, I think he should come here. And I'm like, holy shit, there are like guys that are obviously like he's that dude, but there are like other high level superstars that are pining to get him on their team.
Was this said person a fan of what you said? Did they respond?
Well, no, they literally asked me, they go, well, what do you mean? Like, they DM'd me and they sent the thing and said, explain. And so at that point in time, I'm like, damn, like, is he coming at me? Like, yo, like prove to me that you're not some clown that's just out here talking shit about the players. So I send him a message like, yo, this is my thing. I feel like he's this, this, and this. He needs to have someone that is a late game closer that like he can throw the ball, or he can go 1-4 flat, go get a bucket. If they're up by 2 with X amount of time left, he can go get it and seal the game. And that's why I said I use the Bron Kyrie. Bron's the best player in the world. Bron,
you know what's
led,
a good name?
What?
DeMar DeRozan. I like DeMar DeRozan a lot.
I do like DeMar DeRozan. He can go get a bucket. Is he better than Chris Middleton right now at this point in time in his career? Oh, I don't know. Like, because Chris is younger. Chris is a lot younger than DeMar. But that's what I'm saying. You've got to think about it.
This is tick and tack. But to me, I think DeMar DeRozan got way more wiggle. Like, Chris has been playing better this round. But, like, to me, DeMar DeRozan is like, and we talk about some of the best one-on-one guys in the league. DeMar DeRozan is going to get you a bucket consistently. And that just, like, you could put him on a block or anywhere, and he's going to play the right way.
Yeah. And then look at the same
thing to finding a player that has the intellect to create. I'm not saying no one is, but I think that's someone that also has to be paired next to Giannis. It's not just about someone who can score for you.
Right.
But I also think that they need to be able to make that decision when it matters.
Yeah. And look, this is a call. Like, their team, like, dude, like, they're down 0-2, and it easily could have been 1-1, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, and again, I haven't thrown any direct shots other than saying that he might need a late game finisher. And that's the one thing about my tweet that could have been like, yo, he needs a late game finisher. He needs a late game elite guy. Like, look at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, every time he leaves his team, the other team kind of go, but like Jimmy Butler late game is a dog. You people might not consider Jimmy Butler a top 15 player in the league. He might be 15 to 20, right?
For sure.
But in the last 5 minutes of a game, Jimmy Butler goes from 15 to 9.
Yeah, easy.
Right? Defensively, free throws, ability to hit shots, competitiveness, raising levels of his opponents.
That's one-dimensional. I just don't think that person should only be able to score.
No.
Yeah,
make the right plays and all that stuff. But, like, you know, if you're going to win a championship and multiple championships with which guys like Luka, guys like Giannis, like, they're already in an elite category and they're super young. The last thing for these guys to accomplish, no one's counting their all-star games anymore. No one's counting Giannis's MVPs anymore, or defensive players. The only thing that now counts for Giannis is championships, whether that's fair or not. It's just, it doesn't mean if he never wins a championship, like Karl Malone's one of the greatest of all time. Charles Barkley, John Stockton, like Reggie Miller, like these guys are legends in our game, statues in front of their building, right? But ultimately, like, if you want to get to that, like, Mount Rushmore, and these guys have the ability to do that, they push themselves to do that, the only thing that you're going to judge them by is championships. So let's start talking about what they need to win one or more championships. And what he needs at this point, if he wants to win a championship in the next 2 years, he needs somebody next to him that is a dog in the last 2.5 minutes. That's just a fact. Even when we were talking, we were like, oh, I can't believe Giannis didn't, when he got offended about that question about, like, did you ask our team? He's like, why would you ask that? And then I was like, well, dude, and he's like, well, nobody said that about Rudy Gobert. Is he supposed to go and guard Jamal Murray? And I was like, if you try and go compare Giannis to Rudy Gobert, I swear to God, that was the first time I ever wanted to slap somebody through Twitter. It's like, don't, like, those things are not apples to apples. Yeah, I was like, well, yeah,
they're not apples to apples at all.
No.
Honestly, I think you compare him to AD.
Yes.
And AD guards everyone.
And I think, and I even think Giannis is far more mobile than AD. And AD is absurd with his mobility at his size. So, like, that's to wrap this bullshit up.
We're gonna take it one step further.
Oh yeah. Shit! What's the next step? What happened?
One step further, because as you guys know, this is the first time in so many years that Bron has been on social media during
playoffs.
Someone made a comment yesterday that because Richard started all of this and your buddy Jay Will got in on it, and then it brings out, of course, LeBron. They feel that it has fired up LeBron and that Houston now needs to look out because LeBron James is so fired up and heated because Jay Will brought him into the discussion.
We all know that.
Am I involved in this?
Yeah. That's what LeBron said. He goes, why the fuck am I involved? I'm just over here, blah, blah, blah. And, like, the funny thing is, like, so I texted Jay Will, right? First of all, I texted Bron and I are in our group chat. And I was like, dog, what's wrong with you guys? Chat? He's laughed a couple of times, but he came back. he's left the group chat and came back. Am I lying, Channing?
No.
Why? You just can't handle the group chat?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, you know what? Sometimes I got to let them know.
That's the ultimate I don't give two fucks.
I don't give one.
The funny thing is, like, he'll leave the group chat and then someone will add him back, like, in 12 seconds.
And so, you know what? I say, you know what? If I'm coming back, y'all got to listen to these memes and these stupid Instagram videos.
Channing will add memes and then, like, no one will respond to
it. I know that they see it, though. I know that they see it.
That's why he leaves. He gets mad because no one's like, yo, that was funny. And, like, it'll be, like, quiet for, like, 8 hours. And somebody will be like, yo, have you guys ever had the chicken wings from so-and-so? And then, oh, that's what you guys want to respond to? And it'll be, like, 12 people talking.
Yes. You know what?
No, but I hit Jay Will up. And I'm like, dude.
No, wait. Back to the group text. So you sent that.
So I just sent it in there. And it was like, there were some jokes. Bron didn't really respond. Right. Because, no, actually, I saw it in the group chat. I saw it in the group chat before I saw it online. So I saw it in the group chat, and everybody was kind of commenting. And then I text Jay Will. You know it's bad when you text somebody and they call you back.
Oh, that's the worst.
So I text Jay Will. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Right? And all of a sudden, like, 8 seconds later, my phone rings. So I'm like, hello. He's like, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm like, Jay Will, why are you jumping into a conversation that everyone that is involved in it would like to jump out? Right? It's like no one's taking a Tinder, no one's taking a boat to get onto the Titanic as it's sinking. It's like, oh, that looks like fun. That looks like fun.
Is the band still playing?
The band still playing? Hey, what's for dessert? It's like, motherfucker, this ship is sinking. Abort. What are you doing? And so he was like, no, I just said that he was this. And I'm like, Doug, why are you involving somebody like Bron or like whoever in a conversation that, like, I started it and I'm mad that I started this conversation. I don't want to be a part of it anymore.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, Richard's like, I'm actually kind of surprised that it got that much.
Because the reason why I was surprised is the reason.
Not learned. Whenever you involve the greatest dynasty in all of sports in any kind of conversation, you hear that?
Allie,
it's going to generate that kind of attention?
Two things, Allie. Please. One, we started a drinking podcast because we all drink a lot. Okay.
Yeah, one. Only one drinking.
Yeah. Two, I'm not that smart. I'm really not that smart. I'm like intelligent, but I'm not that smart, right? There's a difference.
Please explain the difference.
The difference is that, like, I can survey things, but as far as, like, being, like, self-aware of moments, and this is the thing, my original tweet only got, like, 5,000, like, likes, right? Which is a lot, but it only got, but this is what I'm saying, though, but, like, it only got, like, 5,000 likes, but what the problem is that ESPN, Bleacher Report, House of Highlights, even my screen grabbed it, put it up on their front page with just my tweet, and you're just like, no.
For being the what? How do the both of you feel for being the, like, hottest trending topic when it comes to
silly shit
on Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen?
Well, what's crazy is, thank God for
I forgot what
the Jordan thing was, something different, right? That was a super
hot that was different shit. That was burning hot,
and it got weird, but I'm glad Richard had his hot take, because somebody I was doing a complex thing during this interview, they were like, who would you rather play with? Right? And so I'm like, well, my style of guard, I like Damian Lillard. And they were like, over Steph Curry? I was like, yeah, I'd take Damian Lillard over everybody else in the league as a guard. So they clipped that. All of a sudden, I'm getting roast. You fucking idiot. You think Steph sucks? I was like, wait, what? I said, me personally. Like, the thing about Twitter is that you cannot say, like, if you say, hey, I want an apple. Oh, so you don't fuck with bananas and oranges and pineapples? You think are they not as nutrient? You're like,
that is a great example. That is a great example.
I just want a goddamn apple. I don't want a fruit salad.
Well, okay. Well, that's fine. But then tell me, what type of apples? Are you going to have green apples? Are you going to have red apples? Tell me. Tell me which one.
Like, there is nothing anymore where you can say, I personally prefer. If I say, hey, I like LeBron, I think he's the best passer of all time. All of a sudden, Magic Johnson people come out to woodwork, fuck you, right? Yeah. Isaiah Thomas, fuck you. You fucking suck. What does this have to do with me? I know I suck.
Yo. Speaking of, like, what does this have to do? I know it me. But remember JB Bickerstaff? Everyone go follow Coach Bickerstaff on Twitter. He goes, hey, what should I know about Twitter? And everyone was like, leave this place as soon as possible.
Oh, man.
No, man, but Scotty, so the funny thing is, so Scotty sends a shot right back. And so I wake up the next day, and it was, I'm not Giannis. Giannis isn't me, blah, blah, blah. The better question is, like, what type of player are you?
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, oh, you got roasted. Oh, you got no nipples. He said you had no nipples. And I'm like, dude. And so, like, I respond back, just, I don't care. I was like, I'm probably Scott Burrell. That's probably who I am. Like, guys, man, this is all, anybody that knows our group or knows me or knows us, like, this is all fun, man. We love our jobs. We have fun. Like, nothing is ever malicious. We don't have, like, no. any, like, we don't, like, overly defend Bron except for Channing. And, like, there's, like,
you know me. At some point, I just like to be a troll. So anybody that just is, like, wants to hate, I'm like, you're just hating because you have something going on in your life. But you can't hate on that man for what he's done. You can't hate on nobody.
People are probably, you're only talking about this because Bron carried you to a championship.
Get on Bron's dick.
And I'm like, yeah, but see, what you guys don't know is that even if we wouldn't have won, I would still be saying this silly shit. Yeah, I would like, still be saying this silly shit.
Know, what? Yes. A little extra, like, ammunition because you do have a ring. I mean, Channing, exactly. You pull that shit out every time.
I'll do every time. No, hold on.
Look, we don't have to go resumes now, but since we're here... I was West Coast High School Player of the Year. I was McDonald's All-American. I was all Final Four team. I was all rookie team. I was U.S. I was on the Olympic team. I was a two-time final, worst one ever, by the way. I was a two-time NBA finalist before we actually won the championship. I played 17 years. So ultimately what I'm saying is that like my opinion is not purely based off the fact that I won a championship. Like I have been fortunate to play high level basketball since I was like 16 years old. That doesn't mean I fucking know it all, but I feel like I'm entitled to my a respectful opinion. Does the championship allow a little bit of a fuck you to people? Yes, but I don't think that's the end all be all. I'm not gonna sit up here and be like, fucking Charles Barkley doesn't have a fucking championship. Like what the fuck's he know? No. No, so it's like just like you won't discount just like you won't discount Chris Webber or Reggie Miller or Charles Barkley, like great, great Hall of Famers for not having a championship. I'm not going to over-evaluate my opinion based off of a championship that I started multiple games in. FYI, go fuck yourselves.
Jimmy, what's your resume look like? I mean, Richard knew his. Do you know yours?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like 14 years
old. I'm giving you an opportunity.
The only reason why I even know it is because someone on Twitter fucking, like, the only reason why these guys get is Cabron. And I was like, well, technically, if you look at from like 16 on, yeah. I was okay, yeah. Right? I wasn't fucking Duncan Robinson, who was a D3 player that happened to be able to fucking make it.
It's a wild thing. And I'm just like, guys, like, I'm a fan. I'm not playing anymore.
We all are. Like, yeah.
My opinion is coming from a place where I literally played against that guy a year ago. So I might still know the scouting report on all these teams. So it's like when I say something, I can be, hey, listen, I tell everybody I'm 50% right half the time. So like, like just take my word for a grain of salt.
That's literally 25%. That's literally 25%.
Bad at math, but that's all right. So, but like, I'm okay to like something. I don't need to like what you like. I'm not dissing what you like. Yeah. I just like what I like. It's impossible to like anything without somebody being disrespected right now. It's like the wildest concept to me.
Okay, so let's look at Hall of Famers that I've been fortunate to play with. Jason Kidd, Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo, Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili will be Hall of Famers, Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, Dirk Nowitzki, Steph Curry, I believe, is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
I believe Klay Thompson is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Sure.
I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but play with Rudy Gobert. Then you have LeBron and you have Kyrie and you have Kevin Love. So basically what I'm saying is that over my 17 career, I've played with a couple of guys. And do you want to know, did I say Tim Duncan? Do you know one thing, did I mention Tim Duncan? Right. Yeah. And so my thing is this, is that, and don't forget Tim Duncan is a key person. the point that I'm saying is this, of all of those guys that I have played with in the last two and a half minutes, I would put Giannis below a lot of them for who I would want on my team in a tie game with 2.5 minutes ago.
Today. In 2020.
Today, right now, career. I know, guys,
I also think that that's a good clarification because back then versus now with some of those players.
I'm not talking about I want Dikembe or Alonzo. What I'm saying is that with 2 minutes to go in the game, right? 2 minutes to go in a game in a tie game, would you rather have Tony Parker on your team right now or would you rather have Giannis? Would you rather have Manu Ginobili or Tim Duncan or Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, right? And so it's like, these are arguments that like, yeah, there's arguments for both, but like ultimately I don't necessarily know that if I can depend on Giannis to do what he does and be the dominant force that he is with the last 2 minutes of the game. right? And that's the only part that's the next phase. MJ had to overcome stuff. You know, he lost all those times to the Pistons, and like then he went and got stronger and became, you know, more and more intense. So it's like, yo, when we give up here to give these opinions, it's not because we don't like somebody. Are our opinions sometimes a little fucking goofy or a little sideways? Yeah, you know, probably. But it's not from a malicious space. So when you get malicious back, you're just like, all right, guess some people are having bad days. Say, who gives up? And at what point in time did we start giving a fuck about what Richard Jefferson thinks? And I'm like, why would you take the time to fucking tweet that then? What do you say? Fuck you forever. I liked it. I saw it. I saw that tweet and I liked it. I am big on trolling. Yeah. Yes.
It had two likes. Something funny. If they're like, fuck you, Fryser, you got dunked on in 2006 playing against the Washington Wizards. I was like, okay, you did your research. Like,
no, somebody posted a thing about Jordan when he had like 40 on us. It was like, let's not forget that Grandpa Jordan had 40 on Richard Jefferson. And people were like, the dude was a fucking rookie. What did you expect? And I was like, and so then after that, after seeing it, it was kind of funny. And so I commented below and I was like, this isn't a burn. Don't forget, I tweeted this 3 months ago. I don't want anybody to forget this shit. I'm gonna sell this shit to my kids. What do you mean? So are you trying to burn me by saying like, oh, don't forget? And it's just like, it's fun, man. Like, that's the one thing, is that Channing got in a little bit of a rabbit hole. Oh. But like, you gotta keep it a little surface. So I don't, like, you know, it's tough, man. Like, when this stuff happens, man, you realize, man, like, this is all fun. Like, we don't.
Are you guys ever, like, in those moments, like, oh my God, when is this going to end? At what point in time can I look at
Yeah, no. My thing got way worse because people were talking about my dead parents. And that was like,
that's aggressive.
That's aggressive. And I had a few to drink. And so I was tweeting stuff. And I had my friend Brino at my house. And I was like, can I send this? And he looked at me like, you'll get arrested for saying that.
Like, that's assault.
I was like, delete. And I was doing research on people, and I was like creating memes for them. Like, I was really getting ready to clap back, but then I realized you cannot out troll Twitter. You just got to say, okay.
Well, but that's why when Scottie Pippen said, what type of player are you? I said, Scott Burrell. Okay, you see everybody? I cracked a joke at myself. It's not that serious. Yeah, this one reporter, from a city that I played, and I was talking about Dallas, and I was talking about Dallas and Clippers, how Dallas needed more toughness, whatever. And this guy, and I recognized him from whatever, and he goes, Jefferson's on TV talking about toughness, ha 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 ha, right? It's fine, I don't mind that. But I tweeted back and I'm like, yep, and you go on TV and talk about basketball. And he goes, point taken, just a joke, my bad, go Cats.
Yeah, people say things, but we have time.
Oh, all the time.
We got time. Like, I'm not going to respond to the boss, but I got time. And if you say something funny or witty and you kind of include me on it and I like it, just know, delete all your previous tweets. A dinosaur dump. I am going to your first original tweets and finding everything I am about you, like the accountant, and then I'm going to start to roast you.
And I didn't get on Twitter till a year and a half ago. So all of this is new to me. So I'm not at a point of like exhaustion of Twitter or social. And on top of it, this was so funny. My accounts got hacked. There was some stuff. So I didn't tweet for 3 months. Because I don't give a shit about Twitter. I don't care about social media. And there was no real basketball going on. So then it was like, okay, I tried it. And then finally I got my account back like 7 days ago. And then this shit started. I'm like, man, maybe I should have just stayed off Twitter.
All right. Are you okay, Channing?
No, good. Sorry, I got a bunch of texts, people.
No one cares.
People need me, Richard.
Oh, they need you. They need you. What else? Okay, so I'm going to the fucking bubble, dude.
It's not that long. I heard the food there is good. It's like they got Piccadilly's. They have Texas barbecue. I heard the fish, they'll cook the fish right on the side, the ones you catch from the lake. is really good. Sashimi, bass sashimi.
Bass sashimi? I don't think it works that way, Channing. I don't think they ever use bass. I don't, I've never seen a California roll with bass.
I said sashimi, motherfucker. It's advanced shit.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that
just
is your hair pink?
No.
Other side.
No.
No. Yeah, No, the other side. Oh, this side, yes, this side's pink.
Uh-oh, Allie got her a Hollywood cut.
Richard, what are you going to do for the first 7 days in quarantine?
Dude, so...
You can't leave your room.
I'm buying all the technology. I am...
Richard's...
That's so funny.
Shane's going to say something inappropriate.
Yeah, Richard's got two bags.
Do I have to edit that?
No, one for clothes and one for lotion, just for the week.
What is wrong with you?
God, what is wrong with you?
They look tired. I said, "Who is? Isn't this the second round of playoffs? How are you this tired?"
They're that tired because they're playing every other day.
Shit.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no. I'm going to get my Xbox. I'm going to stream. I got a new show coming that I'm about to debut in probably about 10 days. It's called The Sports Gap.
Living with Baldness.
Yes, that's a daily, that's going to be my TLC show, Living with Baldness. My kids are always like, Daddy, why don't you have hair? Or why? And I was like, don't worry, son, you'll find out soon. It's genetics. And they got great heads of hair. They got great heads of hair.
You had their kind of hair when you were little?
No. Oh, I had like Kevin Durant style hair.
A little thin. Richard.
No, look, Allie's trying not to laugh.
I know we can actually talk about this because Bron roasted himself. How about that meme of him with the Reese cups?
That's one of the funniest things.
He didn't do it.
Let me say this. There's just this in the first, I want to say in the first like 2 or 3 weeks, right? Like I knew Bron a little bit because we were super, super young. And then really didn't have any interactions. So I came on the team and he didn't even call me to recruit me, you know, like Jared Dudley and shit. He didn't even call you. I just showed up in Cleveland after I was supposed to be committed to Dallas. But one thing that I noticed about him and it was just like, you know, certain statements. And he goes, man, if you can't make fun of yourself, man, and you take this shit too seriously, I just can't fuck with you. And that's really him to a T, right? He's the most competitive this and all this other shit. But when he's like, when he can make fun of himself, that is one of the funniest things that I saw that Reese, because it's like, Brown, like, I just need to know, as your boy, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. That explains, though, why he loved the both of you. And when Channing,
he went with the baldy because of us. We were like, just try it. Just try it out. Try the baldy.
And then he said, well, did it grow back? I'm like, did it though. Hey, and it's easy for me to say this as a person that's been bald since I've been bald since I was 20. So it's like, you know.
Not everybody's blessed with this. It's tough. It's tough. You knew it was tough.
It's tough. All right, let's do predictions before we wrap this thing up.
Okay, what we got?
Houston Lakers have not started yet.
Lakers.
Oh, yeah. And Lakers in five.
Six or seven. I think of the two Western Conference finals, the Lakers have the best chance to be upset. Because I looked at the Clippers, and those boys are just bully ballers. They're just – I say of the two Western Conference semis – the best chance for an upset is Houston over LA, not Denver over the Clippers.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like Houston has a better chance of upsetting the Lakers than Denver does of the Clippers. The Clippers are just too strong.
Yeah, Denver's talented.
They're not ready.
Reach, like when something is tough, they all just go, ugh. But like when Jamal Murray is getting 50 every game, Utah is usually good at defense was absolutely trash.
No, but those perimeter guys are not nearly the same as what the perimeter bulldogs and pit bulls that you have on the Clippers.
Yeah,
the Clippers look like grown men versus the Nuggets. And I'm not even talking about they had a bad game in this, but just the physicality, the size, the strength, it just looked different. Like Torrey Craig is a great defender. Torrey Craig would be like the fourth best defender on the Clippers, maybe fifth.
Yeah.
Right? And so just from that standpoint, I'm going to say with that. The Milwaukee series,
Clippers over Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Clippers over Denver.
Okay.
Five. I'll say five.
Five. Okay. And then you go, the Milwaukee Heat series.
I think I'm going to say it's over in five.
I think Milwaukee is going to win in seven. Yeah. I think they're going to win the next game.
I think you're underestimating what you speak of the dog and the Clippers. I think you're underestimating the dog and the Heat.
No, I'm not. I'm just throwing all the Milwaukee fans at bone.
Don't be that guy.
Milwaukee doesn't adjust. That's the problem.
I said, no, my thing is this. I think this is my thing. My two sleepers in the entire postseason were Miami and Boston. Right. And you Boston can see it.
Baller.
Like Boston should have won that game. They should have been up 3-0. And Toronto's one of those teams that the more life you give them, and they've always been that way. The more life you give them, the more fight they get in them. Right. Because I feel like they believe as it goes on, because they always lose. Like 14 out of the last 16 like playoff series, they've lost game one. So that means that like after they get their rhythm, they play better. I think that's true. So, and with no Gordon Hayward, that to me, people are like, oh, well, that gets more shots. It's like, dude, in the playoffs, it's not about more shots. In the playoffs, it's about having your fully loaded squad and having the versatility there.
Yeah. But I don't. Ian seven.
Yes.
You're going Ian five.
Ian five. The Miami Heat are built to make adjustments and put different players on Milwaukee. Milwaukee has been giving up the same shots every single game, right? Milwaukee just plays harder. Like, Eric Bledsoe was doing good at the beginning. Like, they have pieces, but they don't like make adjustments. They don't like trap. They don't, you know, they're still in their same rotations. They're not like willing to switch everything. They are who they are. And they're like, we're either more talented than you or you just got to beat us. Where Miami, yes, Richard?
Nothing, listen.
Miami just.
I don't know if Miami is one of the best three-point shooting teams, but I always believe that one game, even though they're a great defensive team, one game your three-point shot is always going to fail you. It's hard to beat to sweet teams.
Wasn't that last game?
What?
They didn't shoot that well last game.
I think there's going to be one game where they shoot even. Right. Like Jay Crowder is shooting ridiculous right now. You know, Tyler Hero's stud. Even Jimmy Butler, who didn't shoot well in the regular season, like 25%, not even that great in the bubble, has been hot. So I just think like one game. So I don't know. I think Milwaukee is going to come back and make this a hell of a series.
Okay.
But the Boston one, I don't know, man. That one I still feel is a toss-up, especially now. I think that's a toss-up.
You really think Toronto could come back and win this series?
Well, it's 2-1. I wouldn't. That would. That's not like I.
2-1 on a 0.5.
Yeah, but it's the mental of losing like that. I tell everybody, you would rather lose by 50 than lose at the buzzer, because then you're thinking, "Dang, we just let that go." So for them, can you get over that in a day? Now Toronto's like telling people, "Oh, they messed up now. We got one." So now it's like
that. Yeah, I'd rather have that.
This is so funny, because didn't you have a take that they had 0% chance, Toronto Raptors,
of winning a championship? I stand. You know what? I adjusted. I apologize to the Raptor fans. You have a 5% chance of winning a championship, right? You guys were a miracle shot away from going down 3-0 to the Boston Celtics. What I'm saying is that I still don't believe they're going to win a championship. That was my statement. I didn't say that they couldn't make the finals or that they couldn't get to the conference finals. I said they had a 0% chance of winning a championship. Stand by. That shit ain't changing.
All right. There's a difference.
All right.
Well, on our next episode, because this one's going to come out before, we have the one and only, and I might lose my mind. But
show me what that looks like.
Doris.
Hey!
Just wait. Oh my god, that is another dish of Raptor.
Who is another? You didn't say the one and only. You didn't say the name.
Doris Burke.
Yeah, DB is in the building.
Speaking of, can't wait to have the one-liners too, just like the two of
you. Her one-liners are hilarious.
Oh, wait, is Doris Burke going to be in the bubble, or is she going to be out of it?
Doris just left the bubble.
We're gonna have to send Doris a bottle of wine. I want to get Doris a little tipsy, have some conversations with her. She's been cracking a lot of jokes, so
a lot of jokes.
Yeah, love you, DB.
All right,
guys, peace out.
All right, fuck you, bye.
Fuck you, bye. Fuck you, bye.